Like I'm sure Matt always has said, and you would have known that he was not going to be here, and he would ask someone to come. If you have your Bibles, can you take them out and open to Romans? Now I say that lead in because it's always good, especially with someone you don't know, to check out what they're saying is actually what God's Word says. So I won't take offence at all. You can trust Matt, no doubt about it. But be a little less trusting of me as we have a look at coming to the end of this week three of the Multiply series. The key verse that Paul is looking at this, or Francis Chan in this, and some of you will be, so I'm curious, how many of those this week in their home groups are going to be sort of are going through the third part of this chapter, the series, just so I know who I can. No, okay, not many of you. That's good. So I can take the completely different tack now as to what we want to do here. If you are familiar with what we're looking at here in Romans chapter 10, so turn to Romans chapter 10. It's where we're going to be reading three verses. It's hard to get into too much trouble with three verses. But a little bit of a lead into this time is Paul has been making this argument and this very detailed plan where he's been revealing, first of all, God's revelation, how God has revealed himself, primarily through creation and then through other means. And so therefore, as we've seen that revelation, how have we responded in the rebellion and the chaos that that has created? He then goes to talk about God's solution is Jesus Christ. His death on the cross, not only for the sins that I've done, but the sinner that I am. Paul then particularly goes to great lengths for him to describe that. He says, then what is our response? Is that we have faith in Jesus Christ. And that faith is not just a head thing, that faith actually is multidimensional. And he wants us to come to that, especially what we're looking at here. Then God declares, he makes this declaration over you and I, those who have responded in faith to what Jesus has done. He says, you are dead to sin and alive in Christ. He doesn't say or, they go hand in hand. Dead to sin and alive in Christ. And this is just before we come to chapter 10, and then he goes on to talk about, therefore now as a result of being alive in Christ, you are transforming. And that's part of the multiplying series, is what does that transformation look like? And so if you've got your Bibles there, we're going to read from chapter 10, from verse 12. You don't know me, but we're not going to stay with three verses, that's for sure. And let's have a look here from verse 12. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one that they haven't believed in? I love what Paul does here. He's just making this logical, you follow him, you can say, yep, logical argument on how people come to faith. How can they call on the one they haven't believed in, and how can they believe in the one in whom they haven't heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Now, I hate the word preaching, by the way. How can they have with someone just bringing what is quite obvious to them? The word preaching's kind of got a really bad connotation, doesn't it? It's kind of preaching at them rather than revealing for them. And so then he goes on to say, and how can they preach unless they're sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I want to begin in these three verses as we have a look at the very last line that Paul has in these three verses where he says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Now, you might not be aware, but if you have a look in your Bibles, you can see it's in italics, which means that it's an Old Testament reference. Any of the Jews who heard Paul say this, they would have known instantly this was a quote from Isaiah. And in Isaiah, the picture is this. They've just been in ruins And the picture is of a person seeing someone running down the road, coming from afar, running and panting, and they're bringing good news, often about a victory that has been won. Try and put yourself in place. If Matt came running through those doors right now and says, "Good news! We've got $1 million! Yeah, good news. How beautiful would you think those feet are? And so it's just a declaration that those people who bring good news, the feet that have brought them there, the effort that's brought them there, is seen by those who hear it as, oh, how beautiful is that? And so Paul is stating the declaration of Isaiah. I want to change it a little bit. I want to change it from a declaration to a question and ask ourselves the question, how beautiful are the feet? How beautiful are those feet? It's a question to talk about multiply. We have to ask ourselves first because it points to our motivations and why you're doing this series. How beautiful are the feet of those who have brought good news? And as we see this, we see that these feet, first of all, for us, are presented in the person of Jesus Christ, who left his throne and with those feet came to earth. How beautiful are those feet who have brought you and I good news? Paul had gone back and he said that we've been blessed so immeasurably by those feet who have come. And while those feet were walking the earth, and while those feet were telling and showing the good news of his Father, he came across this situation in his hometown in Luke chapter 4. If you've got it there, turn to it, please. Once again, always check the references. But as Jesus was talking and speaking, he came to a situation just like this. He came to the synagogue and where the prophet of Isaiah was handed to him. And so he opens a scroll and Jesus reads this. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news, gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight of the blind, the release of the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor to those who would listen." How beautiful are those feet? That's a question for you. It's a question for me as I've been thinking this week. How beautiful are those feet? One of the things we struggle in our world at the moment, especially young people, is words are cheap. Lots of people make lots of promises. You know, fake news, it's all, what do you believe? You believe a person who takes the effort to move, to come and help and to bring this kind of good news. We live in a world where gods will pronounce anything. People will say anything to get a vote. How do we trust our politicians? How do we trust those above us? We really struggle in that. But this Jesus Christ left his home and came for this reason, not to condemn. He didn't come to condemn. He came to release. He came to free. He came to set the prisoners, of which I am one and you are one. He came to set the blind, who I am one and you are one. He came to set the oppressed, who I am one and you are one. Not just to remove the shackles, but actually to say, now is the year of the Lord's favor. How beautiful are those feet? Depending on how beautiful you see those feet will actually be depending on whether this next part of multiply that you're doing has any meaning at all. Because as you have received you want to give. And these beautiful feet have come, and after Jesus had said this, and once again an allusion to Isaiah, what I love about twice now looking at Isaiah is this was always God's plan. It's not his plan B. He'd planned this from all the time of Isaiah coming in, that Jesus would come and be the pronouncement of God's blessing, his year of freedom. And so when Jesus then read this, what does he do? He rolls up the scroll, sat down, and if I did that right now, you'd all be looking at me and saying, explain. Yeah, I'd really like to do that. I'm like that. Then you know when you've got Matt that he's really good, because he wouldn't do that to you. And then the eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He said, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." How beautiful are those feet. We've been singing some songs just then, "Oh, how we love you." And what's most important when we come to worship is, what is our mind and our heart doing in that situation? How are we thinking about, you know, things like, how beautiful are these feet? The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. I want you to see, as we come to multiply, that there is that component of speaking. But I think one of the things about multiply and a lot of programs like this is there's the overemphasis of preaching and speaking. It needs to be there, don't get me wrong. And because most of you are not doing it through this week, therefore you won't be able to get together and talk about how did what I say today have anything to do with what the study is. I have looked at it, by the way. He's anointed him to preach good news to the poor and sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, release of the oppressed, proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. This is what Jesus was about. This is what those beautiful feet were doing. Just before this, we just read that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, that multiply is this, as you're looking at this week, or we come to this idea, is that what does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? You're going to wrestle with this. Well, you should wrestle with it. Because we want to see that there are two components. Paul is being very clear about here, and I want to point them out. There are two components of what it means to call on his name, or to have faith in his name. Just before this, he says in Romans chapter 9 to 10, verses 9 to 11, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. These beautiful feet has two responses. And Paul makes that very clear here. Now, I'm labouring on this point, and I'm sure Matt has revealed this before, because I want to see that as we've come in these two ways, we therefore want to multiply in these two ways. So we see this, that if you confess with your mouth as a response of your mind that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart as a response of your emotions that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you are believed and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you are confessed and are saved. There's a head and heart response. Too often we focus on just one. If I could just get them to say these words. But we know that words are cheap. Or if I could just do these actions. But we wonder, have they understood the message? Jesus came in both manner, to speak and to meet the needs of the people, to bind and proclaim freedom. I find most churches today focus on one end or the other. I don't know about you. You'll either have the churches that really focus on getting the right head knowledge. You know, how would I share my faith in 30 seconds? You know, how could I get them to say, Jesus is Lord? Or we have churches who downplay words and they come over here and say, it's all about our actions. It's about, you know, justice. It's about serving in the community. And it needs to be both. How hard it is to have the right tension in that space. But we must. Because that's how Jesus came. That's how the beautiful feet came. And as you deal with multiply, as you deal with evangelism, as you deal with the good news, I hope you struggle. I do. I hope that you're saying, but which one is more important? And the answer is neither and both, because both are required. And as we have a bit of a look at this, that anyone who puts their trust, not just head knowledge, not just heart knowledge, but both will be saved. Time and time again, we see, like in John chapter 1, verse 12, yet who all who received him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. We want to make sure that we present the whole gospel. And most of the time, I can tell you when I deal with young people, is they only ever get half the gospel. They only ever hear the words and no actions, or they see the actions and no words, and they just say in their hearts, this just doesn't make sense. There's no authenticity there. And young people are searching for words and actions meet in the beautiful feet of Jesus Christ. And as you come as a church, as you're thinking about your future, moving on, having just moved to two services, because, you know, it was getting big, and so now we've got the two services happening. You know, what are we going to do to fill the place as we multiply? We want to wrestle with these two ideas. Now, I kind of want to lead us into this with just a little bit of a video as a chance for you to stop listening to me, and we'll have a look at that. Thank you.
There's this beautiful poem. It's in the book of Isaiah.
The city of Jerusalem has just been destroyed by Babylon, a great kingdom in the north. And all of these Jewish people, they've been sent away into exile, but a few remained in the city. And they're left wondering, what just happened? Has our God abandoned us?
Right, because Jerusalem was supposed to be the city where God would reign over the world to bring peace and blessing to everyone.
Now, Isaiah had been saying that Jerusalem's destruction was a mess of Israel's own making. They had turned away from their God, become corrupt, and so their city and their temple were destroyed.
Yeah, everything seems lost.
But the poem goes on. There's a watchman on the city walls, and far out on the hills we see a messenger, and he's running towards the city. He's running and he's shouting, good news! And Isaiah says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news.
Beautiful feet?
Yes. The feet are beautiful because they're carrying a beautiful message.
What's the message?
That despite Jerusalem's destruction, Israel's God still reigns as king, and that God himself is going to one day return to this city, take up his throne, and bring peace.
And the watchmen sing for joy because of the good news that their God still reigns.
Now, in the New Testament, we find this same phrase, the good news. It's the Greek word euangelion, and it's also sometimes translated with the word gospel.
Yeah, so when Christians say, do you believe the gospel, they mean, do you believe the news?
But not just any news. In the Bible, this phrase is always about the announcement of the reign of a new king. And in the New Testament, the Gospels use this phrase to summarize all of Jesus' teachings. They say that he went about proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom.
So Jesus saw himself as the messenger, bringing the news that God reigns.
Yes, but the way that he described God's reign, it surprised everybody. I mean, think, a powerful, successful kingdom. It needs to be strong, able to impose its will, able to defeat its enemies. But Jesus said the greatest person in God's kingdom was the weakest, the one who loves and who serves the poor. And he said that you live under God's reign when you respond to evil by loving your enemies and forgiving them and seeking peace. This is an upside-down kingdom.
Now, Jesus also said that this kingdom was arriving with him.
Yeah, so for example, there's this really interesting story where there's a high-ranking Roman officer, and he comes to Jesus begging him to heal his servant. And he even calls Jesus his Lord, acknowledging that Jesus is his authority. Jesus praises this man for recognizing what no one else yet had, that not only was Jesus announcing God's kingdom, he was the king.
And so the word gets out that this Jewish man from Galilee is talking and acting like he's the king of Israel. He's appointing 12 disciples, which are an image of Israel's 12 tribes. He's healing people, forgiving people their sins.
And all of this so threatened Israel's leaders that they finally decide to have him killed. And Jesus let them.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to do if you're trying to become king.
That's right. But for Jesus, this is what had to happen. Jesus saw the sin and the devastation of his people Israel as just one small part of the entire human condition. How all humanity has rebelled against God, resulting in the tragedy and devastation of our whole world. So how is God going to bring his reign over such a world? Jesus believed it would be through an act of sacrificial love for his enemies. This is why in the Gospels, Jesus' crucifixion is depicted as his enthronement as the king of the Jews.
Yeah, he receives a crown. He also receives a robe.
He's exalted up, not onto a throne, but onto the cross.
How beautiful are the feet that bring good news.
How beautiful are those feet. Now, I hope some of you are saying, John, why didn't you just show us that video to begin with? Because I needed to fill in my time. No, that's not it at all. I wanted us to grapple with this idea of our response to how beautiful we think those feet are for us. Because as we think about multiplying, I suppose the answer is this. Why would we? Is it just about a one group of people, call themselves Christians, who have a church coming together and dominating around their community to do some good things? Is it really just about, you know, group wars? Or is there something deeper and better about what we're wanting to tell others about? It should be a struggle. I know my daughter, who's a paramedic, she comes to me all the time. She says, how do I share my faith in a non-weird way? You know, how is it normal to where you find yourselves? And I think one of the reasons we struggle with this is because we think it's really about sitting around somewhere, sometime, having a conversation, leading that conversation to some spiritual kind of understanding, and then telling them the five spiritual laws and getting them to bow down to Jesus. But that's because we're only thinking about the mouth, the head response. Rather than, that was one of the ways that Jesus came, but primarily he came and made a way for people to hear by how he ministered the heart response. How he showed them the beautiful feet by administering justice and peace and grace and mercy. And so those beautiful feet are what we look at coming forward. Now, so as we continue to move forward, you know, Jesus said this was about kingdoms clashing. And I love this when Jesus says his kingdom has come in a totally different way than the world's kingdoms come. It comes by serving. And there's a freedom here for us. If Jesus then, when he was talking about this kingdom, the disciples said to him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And so he began, he says, when you pray, don't just pray these words, but when you pray, have these thoughts in mind. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Most people have heard this sometime, recognizing who God is as the creator, who he's about, his righteousness, his rightness, and that those feet have come to bring peace to this earth, have come to bring restoration to this earth. And so it goes on to say, your kingdom come. your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I struggle thinking about how God's will is in heaven because obviously his will's done, but I see a differentiation here on his will in me and through me and around me. He goes on to say, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, and most of us spend most of our time there. But hang on, before we pray about those things, Jesus was saying, before we pray about those things we need, do we have his kingdom in mind as the first priority? Your kingdom come. As we go about multiplying is not because we want to see, don't get me wrong when I say this, Matt can kill me later, 100 new disciples by 2020. It's a good vision to have, but our motivation is not the number, our motivation is the outcome, that 100 lives will be brought into the kingdom. And I know that's all your motivation, for sure. I know it's Matt's. But your kingdom come. Your will be done. On earth. I have a question that I've been asking myself that I want to ask you as time flicks backwards and forwards. Is kingdom work, where does it happen? Where does kingdom work happen? Primarily in the heart, for sure, and my heart first and foremost. But as we're thinking about multiply, and as we're thinking about how we go about, I don't know about you, but it seems that there just isn't enough time to do kingdom work. Because I'm going to say I've got the wrong mindset. If you think about your week, your last week, and if we were to put a graph on there on how much time you spent out of the last 168 hours of the week, most of us will have spent about a third of our time sleeping. Our bodies need rest. Is sleep kingdom work? Yeah, I'm going to say yeah. Who doesn't wrestle with God in their sleep and their dreams? There's that kingdom work happening there. Who doesn't have the Spirit reveal something to them that they've said or they need to do? This kingdom work happening in there. Usually in our sleep, it's that, you know, that working with God in our kingdom of our lives. And sometimes he gives us dreams and visions for the future and what he's going to do. Bring it on. But a third of our life is sleeping. Now, some of us get less, especially if we're new mums and dads. I understand that. But then where do we spend most of the rest of our week? At work. Now, that work covers such a huge area. I wonder if you think that your work, what you do with the majority of your day, is a place where God wants to bring his kingdom. You see, most of the time we think God's kingdom happens here. You know, for the 2 hours a week, you know, 0.04% of our week, that God's kingdom happens, you know, here or at youth group or at kids' church. And it does. But I think often we get in this wrong mindset that it's more about us removing ourselves from work because, you know, that's just what we do to make a living, rather than seeing that that's actually God's primary place where he wants you to bring his kingdom. Is that your work? Now, straight away, some of you are going to say, like I would have when I was a young person, saying, they don't love God. They don't want to talk about God. I try and bring him into the conversation all the time. And you would see that the beautiful feet bring a totally different perspective. It's not actually about having the discussions. We want to have them, and we want to be prepared for them, but it's actually being the other elements of God's grace and proclaiming his freedom in our workplace. God has you where you are. Right now in my position, even being unemployed, so to speak, he has us in positions because he wants us to realize that this is primarily where we spend most of the time, a place he desires for his kingdom to come. And in one sense, even if you don't view it that way, his kingdom goes wherever you go. It's there. But because we often forget that we come to Christ by our mind and our heart, sometimes we go to work and we do one or the other. And we don't realize that we need to bring both aspects into God's kingdom to be ready to answer the questions about the hope we have. But we're not there to ram it down their throats. But we don't then exclude ourselves and not bring his peace and his grace and his mercy in the positions where we work. Whether that's at home because I'm a stay-at-home dad or a mum, or whether I'm a janitor, or whether I'm a teacher or a doctor or a lawyer, wherever I am, a reporter, wherever I find myself, God's primary desire is actually for you to be beautiful feet and bring in the good news. As we think about this, for me, I realize we compartmentalize spirituality to not often being in these kinds of walls. And Jesus came to free us from that and to open up the opportunity to see the kingdom work as being far more normal, far more where I'm at, far more where most of my time is spent. As I wrap this up, and as you then talk about this with Matt, just remember, if you have any complaints, write matt.@krugerparade, and, you know, send them to that email address. But as you then you grapple with this, I hope, I want to just spend a little bit of time to have a look at often what is called the seven spheres of influence. That if we have a look at the work opportunities we find ourselves in, they kind of match seven different spheres. And what I want to do for you in this is I want to pray for you in those spheres. And I want to pronounce in a blessing for you in those spheres because you go to them this week. And if we look at multiply, then let's have a look at what the opportunities are to bring the head and the heart to your job, your workplace, your front line this week. Because how beautiful are the feet who bring good news. And the King who left and came and brought you good news now is saying your feet are beautiful as you take his good news to your workplace. It's not just bringing them here. It's not just what is happening here right now, but it's as you go wherever you find yourself, these feet that carry you, that present Jesus Christ, he says, are beautiful. I want you to know that. Just as if Matt came through the door and said, guess what? Good news. We'd all be cheering. This is exactly where we find ourselves today. And I want to do a little bit different. So I'm going to work my way around. And I know you don't know me, but that's okay. You can meet and we can chat over a coffee. I just found out I'm speaking at the next service too. I wonder if you would allow me the opportunity to pray for you in these places. What I'm going to do is, like in arts and entertainment, the four areas there, I'm going to ask that you stand in each of those seven spheres. And so by the end of it, everyone should have had an opportunity to stand, or at least stand in their heart, even if they didn't stand physically. And I want to pray for you where you find yourself this week, that you would bring, by your very presence, good news. Because you will. And so I want to begin. If there's anyone who's in the arts and entertainment, reporters, you know, work in arts or media, entertainment, is there anybody here in that space? You know, it's hard to find. Fantastic. Thank you very much. Anyone else in that sphere? Arts and entertainment. We're all going to pray. What's your name?
Adrian.
Let's all stop and pray for Adrian in that space. Let's do that. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for Adrian. I thank you that he finds himself in a very unique place where vision and imagery is everything. Lord, I pray that as he comes there, you would equip him with ideas and creativity that would proclaim good news. Father, I thank you for his beautiful feet this week. Amen. Thank you, Adrian. And those now who are involved in religion, now by religion is spirituality. I would put psychologists, psychiatrists, doctors, nurses, health workers, paramedics, anyone who's involved in that area, would you please stand so we can pray for you? Anybody there? No, nobody. Yes, thank you very much. What's your name? Louise? Oh, we've got a few more. That's right. Because typically, listen, if I had said to you, let's pray for people on the front line of bringing good news, how many of you would have thought that would have been Pastor Matt? No. He's just one of all of those areas. And let's pray for these people here now. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity you have this week to bring wholeness through these people. I thank you that they are people who want to see release and brought to freedom in so many different spheres. Give them the ideas that this week, and thank you for their beautiful feet. Amen. Well done. Can I have those who are involved in tech or innovation or science, you know, computer, IT nerds, gamers, you know, we have any full-time gamers here, you know, anyone involved in IT, that I would also say engineers, you know, or that side of things, can you stand so I can pray for you? If you are too embarrassed to say that you're a nerd, that's okay. And nerds are in. They're the new, yeah, kingpins. Okay, let's pray together here. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the mind of innovation that you've given these people. I thank you that they see things and how things work. And Lord, I pray that this week that they would see not only in their job, but in their relationships, an opportunity to bring good news. I thank you for their beautiful feet. Amen. Thank you. I'm wondering now if we can have those who are in business, have their own business. They may be self-employed or they're in a small business. You might be a contractor or that place. Do we have any people who are involved in business in that area? Please, could you stand so we can pray for you? Okay, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for the entrepreneurs and those who step out and give it a go. I thank you that they want to be innovative. And so I pray that this week, in opportunities they meet, often with many different people, that, Father, they would know that they bring the good news by the presence of your Son in their lives. I thank you for their beautiful feet. Amen. Thank you. And those who are involved in education, so that might be preschool teachers or working as gardeners in schools, anyone involved in any aspect of education, teachers, administration in that area, could you please stand? Wonderful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these people who want to impart knowledge, who want to help especially young people or older people in this space, and they want to see them grasp ideas. Lord, would you equip them and give them the sense of not only of the mind but also of the heart, of opportunities to bring your good news this week. I thank you for their beautiful feet. Amen. Thank you. And then we move to government, those who are involved in government. So they're often, you know, accountants and government workers, you know. Who are those people? Could you please stand up? And we want to pray for you in that space. Thank you very much. Wonderful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for our government because we would not have a society without it. I thank you that you have instituted government and plans and principles, and we stop and pray for our government. We pray for righteousness in our government. We pray for our Prime Minister, and we pray for our deputy, our premiers. Lord, I thank you for these people here who are involved in the infrastructure that makes our country work. We thank you for them, those who are in the armed forces, those who are also protecting on different ways. Father, we thank you that they are about bigger plans, and I pray that in that big plan they would know some sense of fulfillment, but also as they bring your good news into their workplace, I thank you for their beautiful feet. Amen. And finally, everyone else, because no matter where you find yourself, we are a part of a family, but those who primarily find themselves during the week about family, stay-at-home mums or dads or those who are looking after the elderly, those who are about looking after people, could you please stand, which is going to be most people because most people haven't stood yet. Wonderful. And those who have multiple jobs, fantastic. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for family. We thank you that in your Trinity, you have communion that is beautiful. And Father, I thank you for the families that we've given. Father, I thank you for these people who primarily are working in raising young children, or Father, helping the elderly, or Father, they find themselves in community trying to help others to find life. I thank you that you sent your Son, and those beautiful feet have come to live in these people. Father, we thank you for their beautiful feet this week. Amen. Thank you. Primarily, we often, when we think about who's being called, and I know we can sometimes do, we prayed for our missionaries before, of which, guess what? You are all it. My wife, when we were at a church a long time ago, we would often have a missionary wall where we'd have photos of people. And she one day went up and put a mirror right there to pray for the missionaries. Because that is exactly where you find yourself, as people who have responded to the beautiful feet of Jesus Christ in your life and also now want to respond by bringing his good news in both head and heart. Thank you very much.